If there is anything that is a very much a part of Adventist culture, it is the Sabbath potluck. Now, I realize that not everyone likes potlucks. I have met those people who, when there is a potluck, they say, "No, I don't want to do that. Just mingling with a bunch of people and people bringing food that I didn't fix and didn't know anything about, that's scary stuff." I love potlucks. And the reason why I love potlucks, because the concept of inviting the entire church and any guest that is there to come and hang out over food is just a really cool idea. Because most of the time, I don't have much time to talk with you. You know, I plant myself at the exit, and when people leave, you know, I shake your hand and say hi, and I at best have like 5 seconds with you. But at Sabbath potluck time, sometimes I'm able to sit next to someone and I have more uninterrupted time as we sit there and we eat, we dine, and we just fellowship together. Now, potlucks, I don't go to just for the food. In fact, it hasn't happened in this church, but to be very honest with you, because I'm usually the last dog to go through line. I'm visiting with people, and I'm the last one to go through there. And I have been to potlucks. None here, so I'm not talking about this place, okay? But I have been to potlucks, and the food was, well, it was a little meager. And so I have gone home after a potluck and had a bowl of cereal to supplement what I was able to consume at potluck, because it was enough. But potlucks are not about food for me. They're about fellowship. They're about spending time with the people that I love and just enjoy their presence. I want to share a potluck story with you. It's a good one. And if you don't like it, blame Patty Miller. Right there, that lady with the red face. Because I heard this story from her cousin, someone named Dale Galusha, about 15 to 18 years ago. And so if you don't like this story, you'll love it anyway. It's Patty's fault. If you like it, she gets the credit, okay? There was a kind elderly lady in her mid-80s. The church service had just ended. She had gone to her car to get something because it was potluck Sabbath. And there she was walking down the hallway bearing a green Tupperware bowl with aluminum foil on the top. And as this kind elderly lady in her mid-80s was walking down the hallway, she passed her pastor. And she said, "Oh, pastor, isn't God wonderful?" And the pastor said, "Oh, yes, he is." And then she said, as she proudly held her gift to the potluck, she said, "Do you know what's in this bowl?" And the pastor, before he could say anything, she said, "A fruit salad." She says, "Pastor, I'm an elderly lady, and I don't have as much zip as I used to have. And so I wondered what I was going to fix, and then it came to me, a fruit salad. Pastor, I eat a lot of fruit. It keeps me regular. So, I'm an elderly lady, Pastor, and I don't have as much zip as I used to. And so I thought, well, I don't have the energy to peel all that fruit and to cut it up into little pieces. So God gave me this fantastic idea. And I took my fruit for my fruit salad and put it in my blender with a little water and whizzed them all up. And she pulled the aluminum foil off of the green Tupperware bowl, and there was a mushy, brownish puree. Well, the pastor watched to see what would happen during the potluck to this lady's fruit salad. And no one, I mean nobody, helped themselves to her fruit salad. And being a kind-hearted pastor, which most of us are, he said, I need to say something to console this lady. She must feel really bad. So after the potluck was over, he kind of had his eyes on her. And when she kind of made her way to the kitchen, as all people do to get their dish back to take it home, he thought he would say a few kind words to lessen her disappointment. And so she came out with the green Tupperware bowl with the aluminum foil on the top. But instead of looking devastated, she had a big smile on her face. And she said, oh, Pastor, isn't God wonderful? And the pastor said, oh, yes, he is. And she said, no one took any of my fruit salad today, and I know why. God worked a miracle. You see, Pastor, I am an older lady, and I don't have as much zip as I used to have. And I knew that there was another potluck coming up next Sabbath, and I would have to fix something. But now, God has taken care of that. He's taken away all my worries of what I need to fix for next Sabbath's potluck. Some of you are never going to go to another potluck again. Oh, my goodness. Do you like the story? Give Patty Miller credit. Well, we continue our series about what Adventists believe and stand for. And we've been doing something that's kind of crazy. I've been trying to go through the 28 fundamental beliefs, which any one of them could be an entire series. I'm going through the 28 fundamental beliefs and count them 6 messages. Obviously, we're just taking a high aerial view from about 30,000 feet. And we're looking down and getting big picture kind of viewpoints. Fundamental beliefs. There are 28 of them in the Seventh-day Adventist denomination. And today we are going to go through fundamental beliefs 12 through 18. Huge territory. They are the church, the remnant and its mission, unity in the body of Christ, baptism, the Lord's Supper, spiritual gifts and ministries, and the gift of prophecy. Now, if I were to boil all these down, and it's been a real blessing to be forced to take all this territory, if I were to boil down all of this and look for a single word that kind of sums up what it's all about, I would pick the word church. 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 Now, if I gave you the assignment to go to a busy city street and to have a microphone and a recorder and to ask people, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word church? What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word church? You'd get some very interesting answers. Church? Isn't that like a building that has a steeple on it? Church. That's a bunch of judgmental people. Church? Boring. Now, if I were to hit rewind, if I could rewind history and go back to the first century AD and ask that same question, the very same question, what is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word church? And if I were to ask that to those early church members, the charter members, if you please, of the Jerusalem Christian Church, the first church of Jerusalem, if I were to ask them, I think the answers would have been quite different. It may have been something like this, again, going back in time, thousands of years. church? It's a family. It's a close community of believers where we love each other and no one is in need. Church? It's the most powerful force for good on the face of the earth. Or church? Church, it's the most exciting part of our week. We look forward to church more than anything else. We never miss church because it is so awesome to come there and to worship together and to read God's Word and to learn more about God. It's the highlight of our week, church is. Here is my best attempt to summarize Adventist beliefs, fundamental beliefs, number 12 through 18, talking about the church. The Bible says that Jesus was crucified 2 weeks from yesterday. There is something called Good Friday that commemorates the time when Jesus died for your sins and for my sins. The Bible says that Jesus was crucified and then he rose from the dead early Sunday morning. Then the Bible says that Jesus spent a period of about 40 days alive here on this earth. And after that time, he ascended to heaven. And as he was ascending, and before he ascended, he gave his people, his church, a life-changing, game-changing mission. These people were to become the church, working together as one to tell the world of a God who loves them radically, recklessly, and unconditionally. And so the church became stewards of a message of hope. The church became what was, in God's opinion, to be the most powerful force for good that there had ever been. Despite human weaknesses and imperfections, God birthed a church with some people who were seeking his face day after day, earnestly and consistently. And he poured out his Holy Spirit on them. And on the day of Pentecost, as we read from Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people were converted in a single day and were baptized and gave their hearts to Jesus and became the charter members of the first Christian church of Jerusalem. What a story. This community of believers was passionately committed to God. They sought His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit worked through them. They were unified in purpose. And the church became such a powerful force that the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, the life-saving message of Jesus Christ, was shared with thousands of people. And the gospel, the Christian church, grew like wildfire. In fact, the Bible says that the church became so powerful that all the forces of evil, concentrated as they would be, could not deter the church in any way. The Bible says that Christ loved not only individuals, but he loved the church. He gave up his life for her, the church. That's how much Jesus Christ loves the church. In spite of its weaknesses and imperfections, it is the object of his supreme regard. And then he goes on to say, as I was mentioning, that it is such a powerful force that evil cannot deter it. Jesus says, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell, shall not, and I put down, cannot prevail against it. That's how powerful God's church is. And as we can see from the book of Acts, Christ did build his church. It was birthed in a prayer meeting from some people who said, we're going to seek God like we've never sought him before, and we are going to be committed to what God's going to do in our midst. And on Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out, thousands were converted, and that's how the church got started. The message of the church was to be a continuation of what Jesus had given to his disciples and what is now known as the Great Gospel Commission, when he looked at his disciples and says, this is what I want your lives to be all about. Not about your earthly jobs and your earthly hobbies. I want your lives to be all about the Gospel Commission. So he said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples that have been converted, as you spread the gospel to them, to obey all the commands, everything in Scripture, everything that I have given, that I have taught you. Wow. From the very beginning of the formation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, Adventists have believed that we are called by God to give a special message to a specific time period of Earth's history. Our mission is the Gospel Commission, to take the gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, the life-saving message of the gospel of Jesus. And Adventists believe that we have been called to share this message with everybody. That this message is amplified and rephrased when you get to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And these messages are called the three angels' messages. And these messages are a message of warning that the world is not going to last forever. And they're a message of hope because they say Jesus is coming again to take his followers home with him. And these messages are an urging because we have to give account of our lives someday. God is looking for a group of people that are so obedient and loyal to him that they would rather die than disobey God. Adventists believe that the church is called to be the obedient, loyal body of Christ here on earth. And that every Seventh-day Adventist Christian is called to be a committed, participating, as opposed to a missing member of the church body. We believe that we have been called to be Jesus here on earth. 1 Corinthians 12:27 talks about being the body of Christ. Now you are the body of Christ. And each, not a few, not some, but each one of you is a part of this body. Doesn't give much wiggle room to get out of that, does it? Each of you are part of the body of Christ. And so we have been called to be unified in purpose, to be Jesus, his hands. Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. We are to be Jesus to our world. Now, Adventists celebrate that every person's salvation is celebrated in this wonderful act called baptism. And this is a picture of a baptism that took place, and you might recognize Sam Kleinman there, and yours truly. And I'm just about ready to baptize him up in that tank. And what a joyous day that was. And the congregation just erupted in joy as we watched a young man give his heart to Jesus Christ. It was like, wow, that is really, really cool. Again, heaven says there's more celebration going on in heaven over a sinner that repents than a bunch of people who don't think they need to repent. There was partying going on in heaven on that Sabbath, I assure you. So Adventists believe in baptism by immersion to symbolize the burial of the old person and then coming out of the water in newness of life. And don't any of you guys get some ideas about holding on if you're going to be baptized. Just relax and go back. That was so funny. My favorite part of it was when he took the little hanky and dripped a little over his head and said, just to be sure, he made it under. That was so good. Adventists not only celebrate baptism, but we celebrate the forgiveness of sins through a ceremony that we celebrate every 3 months called the communion service, the Lord's Supper, when we partake of the wine and the bread that symbolizes the blood and the broken body of Jesus. And with communion service, the Seventh-day Adventists include the foot washing ceremony that, according to John 13, verses 1 through 17, is Jesus telling us, as I have done to you, you should do to one another. And I, for the life of me, don't understand why more denominations don't put the foot washing service with the communion service, specifically because Jesus said we're supposed to. To successfully enable a church to be the most powerful force for good on earth, the Holy Spirit has done this amazing thing. At conversion, the Holy Spirit comes upon us and gives us each at least one, probably multiple abilities to be used in the work of ministry. And it says in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, New Living Translation, the gifts Christ gave to the church to equip God's people to do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ, and called spiritual gifts. These gifts enable people to do ministry and to make a difference in the world for the furtherance of the gospel. Spiritual gifts for the work of ministry. And from teaching and preaching, hospitality, serving, prophesying, etc., 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 the Holy Spirit has provided the church with everything necessary so that it can be the hope of the world and accomplish God's purposes here on earth. And Adventists strongly believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And we believe that those gifts keep going throughout the history of the church, and the true church is always going to get the gifts of the Spirit. And one of the gifts, a very important one called the prophetic gift, is found in the gift of and the life of a lady who was very dedicated to Christ. She was a Christ follower, a passionate Christ follower. And God gave this woman with a third grade education much information to help people fall more deeply in love with Jesus and to help with the formation of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And some of the ministries that the Adventist Church has today, as we are Jesus to the world, specifically Adventist health care and Adventist education, that is, Adventist schools, these are in a large part due to what she was shown by God. I guess I can understand on a very small level why Jesus loves the church so much. It's His bride. He died for the church. He's passionate about the church. He gave His life up for the church. The church is the best of places where people's lives can be changed for the best. The church is the best place where people can get together and minister to a community around us. The church is a place of encouragement, of fellowship, of community, serving, and learning about God. And that's just a few. I love my church. I don't know if you love the church as much as I do, but if you love the church even part as much as I do, you really love the church. Because I have seen lives change the church. I have seen people helped through the church. I have seen people supported and listened to and ministered to in ways that go much deeper than anything the government could ever do. I'm going to invite someone to come and join me now who really loves her church. She must love her church based on the amount of time and effort that she puts in serving her church. I don't know of anyone who gives more volunteer time to our church than one lady named, what's her name? I'll think of it in a second. Seems like its first name started with an N or something like that. Norma Werner. I love this lady. She does so much for this church.
Thank you so much.
And I want to thank you for being willing to be interviewed. This is way out of her comfort zone. I mean, like, way out of her comfort zone.
Definitely.
So I thank you very much. Well, first of all, since we're talking about Adventism and the church, how did you become a Seventh-day Adventist?
Well, actually, my mother was a Seventh-day Adventist, okay. And her mother was. My dad was not, but we grew up knowing about the Sabbath, and one of the things that I always thought was kind of interesting, my mother had a trunk, and in that trunk, there was a note from Mrs. White's organization, or Mrs. White, I'm not sure if it was personal, as a thank you for supporting the ministry. And I thought, oh, that was special. That was my grandmother.
Wow.
So I grew up knowing about the Sabbath and loving the Lord. And I went to the first grade in Santa Rosa Junior Academy. And the part of the eighth grade in Alaska. And
Alaska.
Part of my ninth grade, I lived for about a year in Ketchikan, and that was in my eighth grade, and then just part of my ninth grade here in McKinleyville. So as far as a lot of Christian education, I did not have it. And where I really probably learned a lot about what we believe and teach is in the classes. I've been in the children's divisions ever since.
How many years have you served in children's divisions?
Pretty much ever since I've been married.
Wow.
And that's 60 years.
Wow.
So when Bob and I first got married, I actually started in the junior room. And let me tell you, those juniors knew way more than I did. And so that was helped me to be able to study a little bit more. And so just even now, right now, of course, I'm in the kindergarten cradle roll room.
And you
it's
have
amazing.
A number of relatives in that room, don't you?
I love every 10 of them there. And then I had a couple of extra today, too. That was great. But it's amazing, even in the kindergarten room, I know someone was in there with their child, and we were going through one of the lessons, and he said, oh, I didn't know that. I mean, it's amazing how you can learn a little bit here and a little bit there that, you know, the Lord, I think, puts in our way so that we can, you know, do things for him and learn and share with others. So actually, I started going to church when I was young. I did have relatives that went to the other churches, and I know there's many, many good Christians in the other churches,
Amen.
But I've always thought, you know, the Ten Commandments, you can't get past the Sabbath, and I've always kind of thought that, you know, the Sabbath has to be really special, because that's the only commandment of the Ten that the other churches are not keeping. So why is the devil kind of trying to keep that? That's just in my own mind. Now, that might not be somebody else's mind, but that's what I think of. I think the Sabbath has to be really special for the devil to work so hard to keep people out of it.
Very, very good. Very Now, Norma, with some of the members here, I'm trying to get them into deeper levels of commitment and trying to get them more and more involved and more involved. And with you, it's almost like, lady, do you ever take any time for yourself? I don't want you to burn out. You're too important to this church. Why do you spend so much time in ministry? What motivates you to do what you do?
Someone asked me that not very long ago. Norma, why do you do all this stuff? And I said, I don't know. It's just, I pray daily that I can be like Jesus. And if you look at the life of Jesus, what did he do? I mean, he did everything for other people. But, which definitely I don't do all that he does, that's for sure. But it's just in my heart or mind, I don't know, I just pray that God will help me to be like him. And I'm not even near like him. But, that's the only reason. I just have that feeling that it's something I can do and that I should do it. And the Bible does say that, when you've done things for other people, when you've helped other people, that's how I feel it is at Community Services. We're helping all these people. We're encouraging them. And I feel I don't care for their life. I don't know about their lives. I haven't talked to a lot of them. A lot of them I have. But I don't feel that we can judge them because God knows, am I there for a special reason to encourage someone? And hopefully that's the reason. But I feel that the Bible says when you've done it to the least of these, we've done it for the Lord. And that's how I look at it, Amen. That I'm doing things for Jesus.
Amen. Now, some of you may be guests with us here, not regular attenders here, and you have no clue what this lady does. Let me make a feeble attempt.
Careful.
I'll be kind.
No.
She is the co-director of our community services, she and Tina Ahrens. And what that means is every Wednesday they're here for hours, and she does a lot of things on other days. A normal week for community service, not counting the sale, but how many hours?
Let's count that sale.
Well, no. I'll get to that. No. How many hours a week would you put on community services?
Not that much, actually. Maybe 6 hours or seven. It depends. I do the shopping for the food because we do give the food
right.
away, and so maybe 10 hours, but maybe only 8 hours sometime, and maybe 12 another week. It just depends.
She also leads our Crater Roll Kindergarten Division, and so each week it's her responsibility to do the program for her kids. And I know she, if you ever stuck your head in there, they have a lot of fun. She has an awesome program. Besides that, I believe you have the meal today that you're in charge of.
I am in charge of that. And
hopefully you have some servants back there slicing and dicing for you.
It's pretty much already
done. Oh, it's already done. Okay.
Yes,
well,
hopefully.
Knowing you, of course.
Anyway.
She's also on the church board.
Yes.
You also, I believe, organize the kids' corners.
Yes.
Who does that?
I do that.
And a little thing going on right now called Community Services Rummage and Bake Sale, which...
been amazing.
That has been amazing. How's it going?
And we've brought in over $6,000.
Yeah.
And, of course, the money that we earn will actually, buy food for those in our community that need it. And it's not just like druggy people or that. We have a lot of elderly people. We have a lot of single, family members. It's just hard these days, really, financially. And so we can bring a smile to someone. I think I mentioned one other time, some people will come in, oh, I love this store. Of course, it's all free, too. But just the idea that they appreciate what we're doing, I think, is important.
And you touched some lives so dramatically. It has been real rewarding for me personally as the pastor of this church to meet people in the community and say, oh, your community services helped me. And there was one individual in particular who couldn't remember your name, but it was the lady who drove the PT Cruiser. And I pretty much figured out who that just might be. And he was just saying, this lady really helped me. So you're touching more lives than you know. And I know you have a really great team of people that both church members and non-church members who help. And they're fantastic. They're just simply fantastic.
Yes, it's wonderful. We do have like probably 3 or 4 non-Adventist people that are helping us.
Yeah.
And we could not run it without them. It's just wonderful. And they know how much I appreciate them.
One of the ladies, Doris, travels all the way from Fortuna
to come up.
Just to help with our community service, which I think is just incredible.
And she has been up every day. Well, one day she was having some car troubles, or her son had to use something. Anyway, from Fortuna for the sale. And we've had the sale going on for 3 weeks. Sunday through Wednesday, she has been here every day. Anyway, it's just wonderful, the people that are helping. And once, you know, I feel that I'm just doing what I can.
And it's a lot. One final question. Here you give so much of yourself, so freely give of yourself. What do you feel like you've received? What are the blessings that you have received for giving so much of yourself?
I mean, I'm just happier. I just feel good inside. I know that you cannot work your way to heaven. That's not the reason I do that. It's just something in me that feels I need to do this or want to do it. I not need to. I don't know. But it's just a contentment inside that I feel that I can doing the Lord's work.
I think that's pretty cool. I think some of the most miserable people in our world are those who are preoccupied with themselves. And I think the more that you give of yourself into Christ, the happier and the more contented. I like that word, contented. So I'm going to have a closing prayer. Thank you so much for, you did an awesome job. I knew you would. But thank you for being willing to get out of your comfort zone for a few minutes. Loving Father, thank you for Norma and all the people of this church who give themselves so freely in ministry. Lord, I pray your best blessings upon them. This church, as any church, rises and falls on its volunteers. And Lord, I ask that you raise up more volunteers who can discover the joy of serving in ministry and the contentment that comes knowing that you're serving other people in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for the continued success of our community services. It's such an amazing, strong outreach. It's touching so many lives. And I just ask that you continue to bless it and continue to send people who can serve in this capacity to make it what it needs to be. And most of all, we just want to say thank you for Jesus, who just showed us the example of what it is to be a servant. May each and every one of us purpose to live our lives like Jesus. And I ask this in his holy name.